Welcome to Happily Family. I'm Cecilia
And
Hilke,
I'm Jason Hilke.
and we are delighted today to have Michelle Godfrey with us. Michelle has over 25 years of combined experience in holistic health and wellness. She founded Let's Blossom to help families improve their health and thrive. As a certified Wild Fit coach, Adventures and Wisdom coach, mind body eating coach, and a positive intelligence coach, Michelle helps parents create a foundation of lifelong wellness, both mentally and physically, by nurturing the mind, body, and soul. Welcome, Michelle. It is great to have
Thanks
you.
for being here, Michelle.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
I wanted to first ask you because I understand that you talk to people and work with people in something called positive intelligence, but that I'm unfamiliar with. So I wanted you to describe what that is first, just to get us started with the conversation.
Absolutely. So, positive intelligence, I personally feel, is probably one of the greatest self-development programs that you could probably ever do. It's based in neuroscience, designed by a man called Shiraz Shamim, and he used factor analysis to kind of work out why and how we sabotage ourselves. And that's how I found out about it. I was trying to understand why we did that and why my clients did that. And so by using, or he uses performance, performance science, he uses cognitive behavioral therapy, he used research in neuroscience and positive psychology, and he kind of amalgamated it all together to make this operating system, which we call positive intelligence. And he found that everybody has 10 kind of automatic negative responses, which he labeled your judge and your saboteurs. And we had 5 positive responses, which he calls your sage powers. And with the development of functional neuroscience, well, functional like MRI scans, you could actually see where blood goes in different parts of your brain when we are having different thoughts. And so they located the fact that when we're in our saboteur side of our brain, which is the negative side of our brain, that we tend to be more on very simplistically the left side of your brain, but it is also your limbic system and a few other areas. And when we're in our sage side of our brain, our positive side of the brain, we tend to be simplistically on the right side, also the center of your prefrontal cortex and kind of like your emotional wiring as well. So and so the system, it really helps you understand yourself so much more because you understand your saboteurs, where they come from, what your original gifts were really that your saboteurs overuse, but once they overuse them, it becomes detrimental to you. So it's a complete system to understand yourself, to then intercept your saboteurs, and it physically rewires your brain so that you can be more on the positive side of your brain, that laser focus, clarity. So when you feel yourself in what we call you're sabotaging yourself, you're feeling negative emotions coming up, you have the skills that you can flick over to the sage side of your brain and then start to look at your problems much more objectively. So that's probably way too long-winded, but that's kind of what positive intelligence is.
No, that's helpful. I think it really gives us a great place to start. So as we delve into this, so let's go through this a little bit deeper. And I'm curious because of what we're talking about, how this applies to parenting, because it sounds like this could be something that applies to all parts of our life, and I would be curious about that as well. But what we're talking about right now is parenting, and so I think I guess I'll have to sort of stay focused on that part of it. So when we're talking about the saboteur and the sage parts of our brain, and how they work together in tandem and against each other, could you talk a little bit about, like, let's go deep into these and talk about them. Take them apart a little bit and focus on the parenting piece of how that plays out.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're so right. Basically, our saboteurs, I mean, this is the operating system of how our brain works. So it's how everything that we do in our lives are affected by these. And we will all tend to have our own more dominant saboteurs, and depending which one yours is, that then affects your performance, your well-being, and so therefore it affects your family life. Absolutely. So each saboteur tends to have, well, really what saboteurs do is they take your skills that you had to start with, your natural characteristics. So let's stick with the pleaser saboteur, which I talk about in the chapter in the book with Janice. So she has a very high pleaser saboteur. So people who have a high pleaser are actually normally born being naturally loving to give. They're empathetic, very, very loving. And those are beautiful skills that normally would create connection. And what tends to happen is our saboteur, and it when we're children, it's not that something bad has happened to you. It's just to navigate life. When we're younger, we tend to use the natural skills we were born with, and that's great. But if you overuse those, then those can morph into something completely different. And so bringing it back to family life, I mean, the effect of a pleaser saboteur on family life is massive. Because mum tends to, or whoever's, it could be dad, absolutely, but I'm just thinking of Janice. Because why do our children model everything that we do? So, sticking with the pleaser saboteur. So, basically, what a pleaser does is they just give all the time. They can't say no. They feel guilty if they say no. It's actually from a deep-rooted belief of I'm not worthy normally. And so what happens is they can't set boundaries, but they become exhausted. So because they become exhausted, the knock-on effects of that are massive, whether that be they don't have the energy to be the parent that they want to be with their children, how they cope with that. It could be that they find it very hard to express their own needs. And they will bottle up their own emotions, and that can lead to things such as overeating or drinking or any of those other vices that we tend to adopt to help us with that, to exploding. And as we see Janice, normally these are really loving people who wouldn't do that, but they're pushed to the extreme that eventually they explode. So you're not getting that can scare children, but also you're teaching children essentially that you're modeling that I'm not important. My needs are important. I should sacrifice myself to give everybody else what they want. So as you follow, I'm sticking just with one saboteur, but as you follow the repercussions on through the family, they are absolutely huge. They really are.
Yeah. When I was reading your chapter of The Perfectly Imperfect Family, and I got to the part where you described the different saboteurs, I was like identifying them in myself. Yes. So anyway, I saw myself in lots of them, just to give people a sense of what the others are. And maybe if you can describe briefly like what the sage qualities are too, so people can get a sense of those.
And is it possible to have more than one saboteur? Or okay, that's what I was just you were saying you identified yourself with all of these. I'm like, wow, so it's not just one. I was hoping I could just have one and that's all I had to deal with. But okay.
No. So there is the judge who's universal. So we all have the judge, varying degrees. And you will find, as with all your saboteurs, that different situations will bring out different saboteurs within you as well. So the judge, and he judges self, others, and circumstances. So that's the judge. He can be quite nasty. I say he, that's very sexist actually. They can be quite nasty. And we all have a different personality as well, very specific to you. Then we have, or can I remember them all now on the spot? So we have the avoider saboteur. We have the hyper achiever, hyper vigilant. We have, oh, my mind's going blank now. We have the pleaser, we have the hyper achiever, we have the victim, We have
Yeah, that's good. It
I've not
doesn't.
made all nine of them though, but there is
It's
nine of
okay.
them,
I
but
just
I could
want a
talk you
sense
through.
so people can be like, "Oh yeah, I get that."
Yeah. And okay, so
And then
you
also the sage
that's
ones.
what I'm saying. So you were talking about like how the sage kind of pairs with that. Is that what I understand?
Sticking with the saboteurs just for a little bit. So every saboteur, as I say, it tends to be different qualities that you have that they overuse, which then ends up classifying you into, like, you may have an avoider saboteur or whichever. And you will have certain thoughts that are quite stereotypical. And absolutely, in answer to your question, you will have any number. Some people have a splattering of all of those saboteurs. Some people may have, say, three or four that are really dominant. But most people, you will recognize that you do have a splattering of all of them. So for me, when I did my first saboteur test, which you can do, and it's super interesting, I really encourage any of your listeners to go and do and to go and do it. I had my top three were 9.8 out of 10. So my top three were the pleaser saboteur, the avoider saboteur, and the hyperachiever saboteur. And then I went down to the restless, which was six. So restless is another of them. So you can really have any combination, and as you work on them, those scores tend to go down. So the sage, we have what we call five sage powers. So you use empathize, explore, navigate, activate, and oh my goodness, and I'm forgetting the fifth one. I'm really not doing very well here today, but there are five sage powers. Sorry about this. And it really is about, it's not, I think some people, when they hear about this, they think, as soon as I feel something negative, oh, I'm supposed to switch it round to being something positive. That's not what it's about. Basically, it's saying all the time that we are in. You feel any negative emotion, you are on the saboteur side of your brain. So you can't think clearly, logically, with laser focus. You really can't, because there's too much of this wiring there connected with your saboteurs. It really is. So if you can flick yourself over to the sage side of your brain, and it really, when you learn this, it does feel like a switch which flicks over to the other side. You can completely feel that you are viewing this situation as something different, and you access those sage powers that we talk about. So Shazaz has this brilliant analogy. I love it. He says that when you feel a negative emotion, it's a bit like when you put your hand on a hot stove. You're feeling that pain and it's warning you something's wrong here. But if you left your hand on that stove and didn't take it off, you would do permanent damage. The longer you leave it there, the more you damage your skin and your tissues underneath. So he says, when we feel our saboteurs, that's supposed to be the warning, that 10 second kind of warning. Hey, something's wrong here. We're feeling something negative. But then you need to remove your hand away from it. And that's when we flick over to the sage side, where the sage then says, okay, this is what our problem is. So what can we do about that? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's actually what I was just going through my head of like, okay, so when we get into this negative or this saboteur mindset, whatever that road we start going down, and we recognize it. You had also said that like when you're in the saboteur, it's also more like your limbic system's more activated, which is unfortunately not the thinking part of our brain. And so then that led me to that question of like, okay, how does it happen? How do we train ourselves so that we can flick over to the sage side when we're not necessarily in the thinking part of our brain where we're like, oh, right now I am in this saboteur kind of mindset or whatever. And I'm like, I'm acting like this. Like, I'm just not going to be able to, I cannot be able to recognize the negative emotion. Like, I can probably get to that point while I'm kind of flooded or I'm in my limbic system. But how do you make that flick when you don't really have the thinking part of your brain engaged?
Yeah, great question. And you do it by, first of all, it is recognizing your saboteur. So we do lots of work where you embody a lot more, and so you will start to realize as you tune in that before, invariably before you feel that negative emotion, you'll have had telltale signs starting to build up in your body. So it's a lot of that embodiment work. As soon as I feel that, I know that something is happening, or think I'm thinking a thought which I, you know, there's that I'm not happy with. So it's recognizing it, and it's intercepting your saboteur. It's labeling it. So you do lots of practice when you're not in that stressful situation with what we call working on our self-command. So it's really the more PQ reps that you do, the more wiring that we get on, simplistically, that right side, the sage side of our brain. And when we do this, it also releases endorphins as well. So it makes us feel better. So you're doing practice outside of the stressful situation to build up all of the neurons and those neurological links. You're practicing understanding about your specific saboteurs. So we'll often start just on one saboteur, concentrating on that mainly. You're working on embodiment, so you're picking up, oh, hang on a minute, I can feel that this is starting to brew. You label it. So, with Janice, we were very much, okay, I can feel this is my pleaser saboteur. We don't want to get angry at our saboteurs because they were there actually as a defense. You know, it was how we navigated life. So it's you can be quite jovial. It depends to you. Some people like to name their saboteurs as well. It's up to you how you do that. But it's kind of like, oh, hello, my pleaser. You know, I was expecting you. Then you do lots of positive PQ reps, because by doing the PQ reps, you start to trigger yourself over to the sage side of the brain. So it's really learning. So when we look at neuroplasticity, so when we do anything in our brain, we have this little link, if you like. It's a set pathway between neurons, and the more we do the same pathway, it becomes a habit. It becomes much quicker. So you may have a really quick pathway to react a certain way that your saboteurs trigger you to. And so what we're doing is we're trying to stop that pathway. And then we're trying to break a new link by doing your PQ reps to take you over to the other side of the brain. So eventually we do that enough, we create this crossroads, if you like, where you get to a point where you're recognizing it, we're breaking that pattern, and almost your body, you can choose. And this is where your self-command comes in. The more you practice that self-command, the stronger it gets. And you can have a choice of, okay, I can now go and do this behavior, but you're kind of doing that consciously now, whereas before that was just an autopilot response. Or I have a choice and I can go over this way. So it's a kind of a program where you really build it up step by step. And then we do a thing as well where we anticipate our saboteurs. While we're working on our embodiment, we're looking at what triggers us. So once we know what triggered us, we can look at our day ahead, or something that we're feeling that we're getting a bit worried about. And then we can think, okay, how are my saboteurs most likely going to show up? And so it really is understanding yourself. So once you know how you begin to work, you plan ahead again. Outside of that stressful situation, you can say, okay, I know the most likely thing is that I will start to feel this, and then I will start to behave in this way. And then you can say, so what am I going to do to prevent myself? And so we play a great game where we can bounce ideas back and forth until clients come up with, say, one, two, possibly three things. Which they think, okay, I'm going to try this. And so I'm going to see which of these work. And then we go what we call into activate power, where they then, I'm switching you through too quickly. You notice that your body will adopt certain positions depending upon which sage powers you're doing. So, for instance, for me, if I'm in activate power, in my activate power, I notice I'll be forward and I'll be really curious, kind of thing. So we again get clients to embody, so they recognize what physicalities they have with certain of their sage powers. We get them to adopt those physicalities as well. So it's really it's recognizing, it's planning ahead, it's interrupting, it's practicing things when you're not in that stressful situation so that you can reroute those neurological pathways in your brain. And then what happens is you reroute over to your sage side. And you're, as you were saying, Jason, you know, when we're in our stress side, we can't think. We can't think sadly straight. We just don't have that logical thought. Whereas once we've taken you over to the other side, then you can. And suddenly you see a completely different solution, a completely different way forward.
Okay. Yeah,
I really
that makes
appreciated
sense.
that.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, you used a term PQ reps, and maybe you've already explained it, but I wanted to have you explain it again.
Because especially because that seems to be a key piece to
Yeah.
move
Yeah.
us
What does that mean?
from the saboteur to the
Absolutely.
sage.
Yeah. So PQ reps are one PQ rep is when you spend 10 seconds hyper-focused on one of your senses. So when you first start, if you're anything like me, my brain was always talking at me. There was always conversations going on. Yeah. So to start with, I was thinking, how can I do this? But it is amazing as you practice it. So you are trying to let all other thoughts go and you focus on one of our five senses for that 10 seconds. Now you build this up. So we do different, we call it the gym sessions. So we have different types that you can do. And obviously, when you're starting 1 or 2 minutes, but when you're practicing in it, you can do 20, 30 minutes. It's amazing how long you can actually do this. None of us are perfect. You are completely human. So you will get thoughts that come through. And I'll do some with you if you would like, and Cecilia in a minute. So you will get thoughts that come through, no judgment at all. You just say, let those thoughts go, and you restart again, and you will just focus on. You will find you get personal favorites that you like to do, but we do have it come so PQ has an app, so you can go in and there's different gym sessions, and depending upon your level, it unlocks different types that you can do. So there's several different types as well, and you will find people have favorite ones that they love to do. But it is always essentially you are just focusing on one of your five senses and letting all other thoughts go. So would you like me to take you into
Yes,
some?
please.
Yeah. So it's much easier if you close your eyes. Although on camera, I know if I'm doing this with a client, sometimes we'll turn cameras off. But so it's just easier to close eyes unless we're doing visual PQ reps, because our eyes actually take up so much of our attention. So if you close your eyes, and I don't know whether you're standing or sitting, but if you're sitting, sit with your back straight, feet firmly on the floor, and just relax into your chair to start with. And I just want you to just notice your breathing. Don't change it at all. Just home in and notice your breathing. Okay, now you've focused on that. I want you just to be aware of the gentle movement of your chest or your stomach as it rises and falls with each breath. Let all other thoughts go. Now, I want you to feel the temperature of the air as you breathe it in through your nose. Let all thoughts go. Now want you to listen for any sounds that you can hear. What's the furthest away sound that you can hear? What's the closest sound that you can hear? Now try and hear the sound of your own breathing. Place your fingertips of one hand against the fingertips of your other hand and slowly slide one hand's fingertips down your fingers and your palm, feeling all the nuances of your skin. And then slide them back up when you're ready. Feel the temperature, the nooks and crannies. And then repeat sliding the other hand down. And when you're ready, pop your hands back down onto your lap. Just take a nice few deep breaths. And when you're ready, open your eyes. So that was a whirlwind. I didn't want to take up too much time. Could you feel any difference?
Oh, yeah.
You
I wanted to stay there.
didn't really want to open my eyes again. I want to
Isn't it a
continue doing
lovely
that.
feeling? It is lovely. It's almost like a drug I find. I'm just like, oh my goodness, I want to stay there.
Yeah,
So,
I liked the finger thing too. Yeah, that's a new one for me.
And so
Okay.
very similar to meditation. I associate it to, it's very similar to meditation that I do. How does it differ? What is it similar? Like it being called PQ reps versus meditation. Can you talk a bit about that?
So meditation, there tends to be many different types of meditation. So it depends upon how you personally view meditation. Often meditation really is strictly that you've got to be there with no thoughts going through your mind, where this really is just a case of don't judge yourself. Those thoughts will come through. You're human, but just try and let them go. And it's very much, again, you can move if you need to. So we do walking PQ reps. I love doing that. Walking my dogs. For me, I love doing PQ reps outside in nature. For me, that's really that's where I release so much. But you can do PQ reps walking. So just feeling your foot, as the pressure on your foot. For me and my dog leash, I have a very knotted dog leash, and I love rubbing my thumb on the dog leash. It's funny, and just feeling it. So you can do PQ reps when you're talking to somebody. So even though you're trying to let all thoughts go, you're really trying to focus on them. But it's a really great way to hone you into your sage side of your brain. You could really focus on their accents, their intonation, something about their face that is different, what glasses they're wearing, what clothes they're wearing. So rather than it being when we start you practicing, it is very much you start still so that you can get the idea of it and begin to get those neurological links forming. But then it's very much more practical in the fact that you can do PQ reps anywhere. And in fact, we have it stacked. We encourage people to, so for instance, for me, every time I have a cup of tea, I love my ginger tea, but I do PQ reps. I just habit stack it. So it becomes a habit I don't think about. So I'll be focusing on whilst doing it. the feel of the warmth of the mug around my hand, the sensation of the heat and the mug on my lips as I take that liquid in, feeling the liquid go down. So for me, my concept of a meditation is it's much more you're sat there, you don't move, and you're really trying to teach your brain not to think and just to home in onto yourself, which absolutely PQ is. It's just the fact that it's not quite as rigid, maybe. It's much more, you can apply this to absolutely everything that you're doing in your day.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's
I
helpful.
really like that. I also wanted to ask you, this is a little bit of a shift, about boundaries, because
Yes.
that is something that it sounds like it in reading your chapter that's particularly tied to your work, but also the people pleaser saboteur. So can you talk to me about how you help people work things out around boundaries?
Yeah. I think boundaries are something that a lot of people find very difficult, and it's not something that we're really taught, is it? I actually sometimes think this would be awesome to do in school, teach kids how to put boundaries in. And again, it is something I think if your parents are good at setting boundaries, you naturally learn. But if you've got parents who aren't, so people with the pleaser saboteur, they struggle completely with boundaries. Because if we take the pleaser saboteur down to its basics, someone with a high pleaser saboteur is petrified of rejection, really, is what it's about. They will have this really deep-seated belief that they're not worthy for some reason. And so they are really scared that if they show their own needs, their own feelings, that that person will abandon them or not like them. And in fact, so they tend to give, and because they can't say no, they're scared to put boundaries in. They just can't do those boundaries because they are scared of that rejection. And the funny thing is, it's actually the need of the saboteur. They are really needing that reassurance, and often they find people with a high saboteur, high, beg my pardon, pleaser saboteur, they find it really hard to one, even tell the other person what their needs are. So, if you're in a relationship of any kind, you're almost expecting that other person to be a mind reader. And obviously, highly likely, they're not going to be. So, because the pleaser saboteur really is scared of that, they won't let you see the real them. So, that's why it's funny. It's the opposite of what they're hoping for. They want to be loved and accepted, but in fact, you often pick up it's not a genuine relationship because they're not being their authentic self. So boundaries, to put no against anything for somebody with a high pleaser saboteur feels completely alien and in a very scary place for them to be. So you have to start at the very, very beginning. Again, lots of embodiment. You often find people with a high pleaser saboteur, they've really lost their identity because they have been shape-shifting so much to fit in with whoever they're with. Their perception, not that other person, but that's their perception. And because of that, some of those people who have suffered with a pleaser saboteur, they actually find it really hard to feel their own emotions. So again, it's really taking them right back to feeling their emotions so that they can find out where their boundaries are lacking in the first place. So anger, for instance, which none of us feel comfortable feeling, but often that's a first sign if you're feeling angry about something or resentment, that in fact you've got some boundary somewhere that is being crossed. So we kind of start at that very beginning. Some people, it really is going right back to lots of embodiment work, feeling, learning to feel their emotions and recognize them. Then it's looking at what situations am I feeling this coming up? Then looking at that, what's my trigger? So what is my boundary? What's my need here? And that's just lots of questions, lots of talking. For them to really finally, actually, my need is this. It might be actually, my need is to be validated, or my need is to be seen and heard. There's so many different needs, but we're working from that level. So once they have highlighted that, then we go through, and I have this little acronym that I give people called Safe Seas. And so we learn how to express our needs in the form of a boundary, which is super hard. Just throwing it out there as well, people with a high pleaser saboteur have to practice receiving too, because that feels really vulnerable for them. So it's a two-way thing that we have to work on. So we practice finding where our boundaries need to be stronger. Then we use my safe seas, which is very, very briefly, because we don't have time to go into depth. But so S stands basically for stating the situation objectively and simply. You don't want to overcomplicate it, just stating whatever the issue is or the situation is. Then A stands for acknowledgement. And I always say this is optional, but people with a high pleaser saboteur tend to love having this one in. So if you want to, you can validate the other person's kind of like thoughts on this. So for instance, if your problem is you come home from work and there's a pile of dirty dishes on the side, it could be by acknowledging them, I know you've had a busy day at work too. So you're just acknowledging their feelings. F stands for feelings. So simply just stating your feelings. This makes me feel, which is actually quite hard for someone with a high pleaser saboteur. Then E stands for express, and express what you would like to happen, basically. What your need is, really, expressing your need. Then the seas, I do it safe seas because it's actually a picture of a seas that I do because of another acronym that we use for something else. But the seas is CCCS, but said seas. So the first C is choose. You get to choose the ending that you want to do. You can do one of these endings, you can do all of these endings, and you will choose different endings depending upon where you are in your journey and the circumstance. So the first C is collaboration. So it might be you say something like, so, could we do XYZ? What do you think about that? Or could we brainstorm this together to come up with a solution? Or the second C is you is state your consequences. So for me with this, I start off with positive consequences, again, because people with a high pleaser saboteur, this is less threatening for them. So, it could be something like sticking with the dishes that we talked about earlier. If you could do the dishes whilst I'm cooking, then I have more downtime in the evening, and that will really help our relationship. So it's really expressing the consequences, but the positively. And then for the S, then you can is really stating, I guess, what I would call the repercussions of if you don't do this, then that's when you have to put in what will happen if someone keeps on not recognizing and respecting your boundary. And it is that last stage that many people with a very high pleaser saboteur really struggle with. So we work on that. So it's really going through those. They're using safe seas. They love it because it's quite quick and easy. So when they're in a situation, but we actually work on picking just one particular situation. They then literally write their script. Then we do visualization techniques. Lots of how are you going to feel, visualizing it, all those techniques which all of us in the mindset world use. And then I actually get them to speak it out loud, because that's a huge step. Speak it out loud to a friend who's not connected. And then finally, when they feel ready, it's then actually speaking it out loud to the person or the situation that you actually need that boundary for.
It's great. I think this is such valuable like tools for us to be able to recognize how we can, if we're a people pleasing saboteur, how to use the safe C's for setting boundaries. And
The
we've
PQ reps.
the PQ reps, and you've talked about, identifying positive intelligence. As we're wrapping up here, do you have any final words or anything you want to leave folks with?
I always have far too much to say. I would love that speaking to anybody out there who's got a really high pleaser saboteur. So for me, when I looked back at my life, once I understood about saboteurs, the pleaser saboteur was actually the saboteur which I got most cross with, even though we say don't get cross with them, it was a survival mechanism. But as I look back at my life, I could see so many situations that I really wish I could have gone back and changed. And I just think it's really just because of the nature of it. So anybody who has a high pleaser saboteur, I learn about it, really learn about it. And you can go online and I'm sure you'll find other things about it. But just know that you can change that with all of your saboteurs, and it will make such a huge difference to your life and to your children's life. I look at the repercussions of my kids, and my kids are grown up now, 19, just 24 and 26, and I really wish I'd known all of this when they were kids. And I watch them reproduce patterns which I know they learned from me. So working on ourselves, I mean, I still work on, obviously, on myself now lots, and it's never too late because they see you as an adult and grandchildren and everything else. But I just think as a parent, really try and find the time to work on that, because it will have such an effect on your life and your family's life.
So valuable. We've talked about all kinds of important and kind of deep topics here in just in a short amount of time. How could people find out more about the different things we've talked about here? We've talked about the positive intelligence, PQ reps,
Having boundaries.
and the boundaries, and the work that you do online. How could people find out more about those things?
So positive intelligence itself has its own website. If you just put in positiveintelligence.com, it will come up, and you can do your own saboteur assessment on there if you're interested, and you can read about it. For me, I will give you a link, and people can contact me directly. I have a free video on the pleaser saboteur and some free scripts that you can that I give away, and then that also gives you entry into a kind of a free mini course via email on setting boundaries and lots of the things that we've talked about today.
Great. Well, we'll include that link here in the speaker notes, and people can click on that and then download those scripts and be able to continue on with that free course. Thanks for spending the time talking to us here. This is a fascinating conversation. I think it's quite broad, way more broad than what we've been able to discuss here just around parenting. But thanks for taking the time to talk to us here, and look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I've loved it.
Thanks, Michelle. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.